So again, good morning, everybody. Good to see you here. We had a wonderful season out at the FMC, didn't we? And now here we are, and to be behind this pulpit and have on a tie feels a little unusual. Good to see all of you here. Hope that those who are joining us online will take notes as well. There's a set of notes electronically there for you. By reason of time, we're just going to get right into the Word of God, and I invite your attention to the text, which is part of a verse. It's a verse I've preached on before, but let me hasten to add that there's nothing to say that once we've unpacked a verse, there isn't more to be able to look at. I've preached on John 3:16 I don't know how many different times, and it's always a joy to be able to get some new angle to the facet of the sparkling diamond that we call the Word of God. So we're in Romans 16 and verse 20. And today I want to talk to you about how to be a courageous snake stomper. How many of you hate snakes? Let me see your hands. Some people aren't quite sure. Well, that's great. I'm glad that you're brave. But here's the text, just in case. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Can we say that together? It's there in your outline. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now, during the Sundays throughout this summer, it's been my practice to come to the church early to go over the sermon outline one more time aloud. No one's in the building. I go over it aloud, and as I look at the outline, I say, well, that doesn't sound quite right. Let me make a change. So when it's all changed, I go with the final edition into the copy room and come out with the outline. And then I make my way in here, and again, there's nobody. It's beautiful when you're all by yourself here as well as when it's packed with people. Walk around, and end up at the altar right here in prayer. And last week, as I ended up at the altar here before going out to the FMC, I thought about what I was standing on. I mean, yes, the floor, but over a decade ago, we put new carpeting in this building. Some of you were here that week when we did so. And the day before the carpet was installed, I preached on this verse. And at that time, there were some of our parishioners who were going through difficult things, and it looked like the devil, the serpent, the snake, was getting the upper hand. And so, I don't know what possessed me to do this, but as we wrapped it up, I said, tomorrow night we're going to be peeling back this carpet, and when we do, we're going to put this scripture verse on the floor, and I'm going to ask you to all bring your magic markers and come, and you write the name of somebody you want to see saved that the devil is messing with. Somebody you want to see who's healed. You want to see something. You write that down there. And then we are going to roll that new carpet back over that. And in years to come, when people come to the altar, when we lay someone out who has just gone to be with the Lord and we have the funeral service, when a couple is struggling or will struggle by reason of their marriage and they're here at the altar, we are going to together remember the verse that's under our feet. And that is today's verse. The God of peace will soon, not yet, but soon, crush Satan under your feet. I've preached on the text before. And when I do, I not only think of the verse that's here at the altar, but I think of that movie, The Passion of the Christ, which can be very gory. It starts out very scary. Jesus speaking in Aramaic in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this beautiful snake crawling up and whispering in his ear, temptations, right? And Jesus stands up, and during the midst of his prayer, he stomps on that snake and takes it out. It reminds me, when I see that segment of the movie again, of Genesis 3:16, called the Proto-Evangelium, the very first time that the gospel is mentioned, Because you see, salvation is not God's plan B. God knew all along that we would fall. He had a plan from the foundation of the earth. And it says in Genesis 3:16, God speaking, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," speaking to the serpent, "and between your offspring and hers." He, speaking of the race of Adam, "will crush your head, though you will strike his heel." So the serpent will bite our heel and inject some kind of venom into us, but it will not be fatal or final, because God is going to come through in the end, and there's going to be the crushing of the serpent's head. And how will it be? Through snake stompers like you and me. I think people instinctively dislike snakes. And my theory for that goes back to the Garden of Eden. At that time, snakes may have had legs, according to what we read. Go to a museum, and if they have a snake, usually an anaconda there, they will have little arrows pointing to the legs that are on the back of the snake. They say it used to have legs, but it evolved. No, what I think is it devolved. It went from a better situation to a worse situation. I mean, look at human beings. We are made, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels. But when I look around and I read about angels, I say, we really slipped a long, long way. We did not evolve. We devolved. We devolved. Present day snakes are all around us here. Over in Genesis 1, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, the account of how sin came into the world was through the serpent. And there in chapter 3, verse 15, I've already read that passage. The serpent's head is yet to be crushed. In our text, however, today, Paul is telling the Roman Christians and the people in Brockton today that Satan the snake will soon be crushed under our feet. Not just their feet in Rome, but 2,000 years later, still our feet. It is the fulfillment of the very first prophecy of the Bible, and is yet to be fulfilled, but I'm telling you here on the virtue of God's own word that one day that will indeed occur. Can you say amen? Amen. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Now, this verse does not apply to literal snakes. We don't want to go around over in the Blue Hills smashing snakes. I remember when I first came here to New England, walked with somebody here in the church and my wife out there, and slithering across the path was a snake. And I don't know why, though, I don't love snakes. When I see them, every now and then I feel like picking them up. So I went over to that snake and I put my foot gently on its neck and reached down and had it behind its head, when somebody said, "Put that thing down, it's one of those Blue Hill rattlesnakes." Oh my goodness, I let go of that thing extremely rapidly indeed. Do you know there's a law against killing those rattlesnakes in the Blue Hills? Yeah, they are preserved. So in case you were ever thinking of that, I've just saved you a big fine, because they will find you for it. Our text contains a prophetic metaphor about Satan's eventual end, the snake found in Genesis and also in the book of Revelation. At the other end of the Bible is there with these words, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil," or Satan, "who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and all of his angels with him." And then it says over in Revelation 20, verse 2, almost the end of the Bible, the other extreme from Genesis 3, "He sees the dragon," that's God, "the ancient serpent," who is the devil, or Satan, no question who he is, "and bound him in the abyss for 1,000 years. And then Revelation 20 goes on to tell how the snake will be put under our feet permanently when he is bound for all eternity. And our challenge is that we still live somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, don't we? It is here, but it is not yet. We are moving every day closer to Revelation than to Genesis, but we need to get ready for our assignment. And what is our assignment? Our assignment is to be snake stompers. And I'm going to tell you today four things in our text that tell us how we can participate. How many of you would just love to have one go at the devil? Just one option to be able to take him out. Don't try to do it today. Don't try to do it without the power of God. Just having a great class with the men from Teen Challenge, and we were talking about the devil a bit, and I said, don't be following the devil down any dark alleys and thinking you're going to win a fight. Without God protecting you, you will not win that fight. But there is a promise in God's word that one day we will defeat the devil. We will defeat the serpent. Let me give you four steps real quick. First step, if we're going to be stake stompers, is that we need to know the one who gives us the authority to stomp on the snake. And who is that? It is the God of peace. This epistle, Romans, tells us in chapter 5, verse 21, that we can have the peace of God. But here we are told that we will one day be given the God of peace. Everything about God is personified in the word peace, the Greek word eirene. It is an interesting thing that the God of peace tells us to stomp on snakes. That doesn't sound very peaceful to me, does it to you? But it says over in Revelation, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout Romans, we constantly have God referred to as the God of peace. Chapter 8, verse 6, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Chapter 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as far as depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 15, 13, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him. Romans 15, 33, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And then again, we have in Romans 16, 20, our text of the day, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. This God of peace is a little bit violent if you catch him on a bad day. Eirene, the peace of God, doesn't mean tranquility. What it means is peace after a struggle that has been gained by effort. When God fights the battle for us, he wins it by effort. The cross purchased our salvation by effort. Eirene is peace gained through conquest. And the God of peace has already dealt with the snake by winning the battle for us. You know, I remember as a boy reading about the fiery serpents in the wilderness. And I remember there was a flannel graph. Flannel graph is hard to describe to anyone who hasn't seen it, but no great loss there. But in this flannel graph, I remember as a boy, there was these people, and they were looking at a pole, and there was a snake on it. And these people had kind of glassy, milky-colored eyes, like something was wrong with them. They had cataracts. And they're looking up there at the snake. And somebody's holding their head because apparently they can't see the snake, even though they are looking toward it. And I read about the snake later on, these snakes in the wilderness that bit the people because they had sinned. The first symptom that you've been bit by that snake is that you lose your eyesight. Now, this is an amazing thing. God says, Moses, go put this snake on a pole and whoever looks will live. But if you look, you can't see. What kind of deal is that? I think the hymn writer gets it when he writes, it was there by faith I received my sight. Remember that song at the cross? It was there by faith I received my sight. You and I had somebody who came along, whether in Chi Alpha or somewhere, and held our head up so that we might look toward the redemption that God had for us. We didn't know what it meant, but we looked by faith. And because of that, the venom of the snake was dispelled and we were given hope and grace that brings us here this morning. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, said Jesus, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So Jesus has won the victory. He is the original snake stomper, but you and I are his sons and daughters, his princes and princesses, and we too have been given that right, that responsibility. For it tells us about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing at the cross. It says in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the devil's work. He came specifically to take the devil out, publicly, so that we could all see it. And this is the God of peace, who is so called because he's already won the victory from his perspective, but it hasn't been won from our perspective. People who come forward still die of cancer. People who get saved still backslide. Do you recall in history, World War II, that after D-Day, which everybody agrees closed out the war for all practical purposes, after D-Day, June 6, 1944, there were a number of months when the cannon still fired shots, when the rifles still sent off their rounds and dispatched people to eternity. In other words, it seemed to be over technically, but it wasn't over in reality. For Jesus Christ, the battle has been won, but for you and I, the battle rages on. It says over in 1 Corinthians 15, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Jesus has risen to die no more, but we still die. And we still get sick. And there are still divorces, and the snake is still furious. He knows his time is limited, but he just continues to stir up wars and difficulties. And the Bible says the earth groans for the day when Jesus will crush the serpent under, get this, our feet. He's already crushed it under his feet, but he's going to add insult to injury. I'm looking forward to that day when we will put Satan under our feet. Do you know the one who is the original snake stomper today? He's the God of peace. Step number two is to check the timetable for when the snake will be destroyed. When will it be? 2,000 years ago, this is the word that was used. Soon. Can you say soon with me? Soon. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Andre Crouch, I think, is the one who used to sing, soon and very soon we are going to see the King. But it hasn't happened yet. Soon and very soon we are going to kill the snake doesn't exactly rhyme, so I guess that's why he didn't use that. The old wives' tale says that snakes appear to be dead. They play as though they are dead, but there's an old wives' tale that says until sundown they're still dangerous. Let me tell you why. Our enemy is still dangerous. Stories on the internet verify that snakes may appear to be dead, but they are still imbibed with a little bit of life. We are not to hurry with the snake stomping. It's going to happen soon, but we need to wait for the God of peace to tell us when. And the word soon in Greek is taxos, which means at the appointed time. God has written it down. The appointed time is there. Revelation 1:1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what will take place soon. And then Revelation 22:6, at the very end of the Bible, the angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Soon to God and soon to us are two different things, right? God has a different viewpoint of time, but we shouldn't give up because his timetable is not quite ours. And notice that we were called to do a job. We were not called to be snake handlers. There are people actually who do that as part of their worship service. You will never see that happen here, I guarantee you. Because I don't intend to join you in that process. For we're not called to be snake handlers. I remember once being out on a campout and we encountered a 6-foot rattlesnake. And I tried to cart it off. And the ranger came when I failed and said, you don't need to do that. I can do that. He said, I will be a snake mover. And he grabbed hold of a fishing pole with a long line and took it away. God never called us to be snake charmers as in India. When you try to charm this snake, you are surely going to get bit. He has called us to be snake stompers. And we've got to wait for the right moment, God's moment. And God's moment is soon. Hold on a little while. God's moment is coming up. Revelation 12:12 says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the snake has gone down to you, and he is filled with fury because he knows the time is short." Satan knows something a lot of Christians don't know. He knows that the coming of the Lord is just on the horizon, and that when that happens, the very individual that he has tried to inject with all of his anger and fury and venom are going to take him out, as prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Let me give you the third step, and that is to beware of the snake that we'll destroy shortly. It says, we'll crush Satan, but listen to me. Beware of him. He still has a lot of power. The snake knows the time for his crushing, shattering, beating, bruising, breaking, all of those words apply here, is coming. His hatred is such that he will do all the damage he can before his time ends. The snake was defeated at the cross, but he will be totally crushed when Christ returns. And here's the deal. God will use us as the instruments of his crushing. Now, if you knew that humans were going to be the source of your crushing, and you knew your time was short, wouldn't you take the offensive? That's exactly why he's not on the defense today. He's pulling out all the stops. I've read about poisonous snakes, and sometimes people think they got bit and they survived, and they never got bit because a venomous snake has the ability to withdraw their fangs. See, their venom is very precious. They can only use it just so often, and then they have to lay in the bushes, and it has to come back again and kind of refill the tank, so to speak. So sometimes a snake will bite but will not inject any venom. Other times it will use only one fang, but when it really gets angry, it uses both fangs. And I want to tell you something. He is getting to that point that he's ready to use both fangs. If you think that things are getting worse, you are absolutely right. Beware of the snake's tactics. Don't be careless. I read in Outside Magazine a while back about a man who was a world expert in snakes, and he grabbed hold of a crate trying to show somebody how familiar he was with snakes, and the thing bit him. And then he wrote this article about how that in 30 hours he would most certainly be dead, and he wanted them to document his death so that other people wouldn't do what he did. Don't go out looking for trouble, but when it comes, remember, one day we will step on the snake's head. And the final step, number four, is this. Prepare to put the snake under your feet. I want you to notice something. It doesn't say prepare to put the snake under your foot. It's under your feet. We see the grammatical difference there. You're to jump on it. The word feet here is plural. It's podos, from which we get podiatry. To show one's feet in the Middle East, it's a great insult, is it not? Do you remember the time that President George Bush went over there and people threw their shoes at him? That was not just because that was a missile. That was saying, we have no respect for you. When you would step on somebody, that is the ultimate indignity. It's the final indication that the battle has been won. In ancient times, they would call for princes in particular of a powerful king, and he would show him how to rule by saying, come up here, and before I put this individual to death, put both your feet on top of him and insult him. God is saying, one of these days you will be able to insult the devil and say, this is for what you did to my mom. This is what you did for my loved one. This is for what you did to the child. This is for what you did in World War II. This is what you did. Joshua 10:23 through 35 says that when they brought the five kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel, said to the army commanders who had come with him, come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and placed their feet, plural, on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, be strong and courageous, for this is what the Lord will do to all the enemies with whom you will fight. I want to be a snake stomper myself. Mark 12:36, quotes David as saying in the Psalms, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I put all your enemies under your feet." Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," said Jesus, "because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed." And that word in Greek is crushed. To turn the tables on the crusher and become the crusher. 1 Corinthians 6:2 through 3, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that you will judge angels?" He's talking about fallen angels. "Do you not know that you will put your feet on these wicked beings?" And then probably my favorite of all, and with this we begin to wrap it up, is 1 Samuel 17, where David fights Goliath. People miss this part. David ran after he killed Goliath. And it says, and he stood over him. But the literal Hebrew is, he stood upon him. There was this giant dead, but he had one more thing to do. One more big thing to do. He goes up and puts both feet on the giant's neck and draws the sword of the giant and takes off his head. People think that he was killed by the sword. He was not. He was killed by the stone. But there he is lying, and he takes his weapon away from him. So the very weapon that Satan has used against us for so very long will become the weapon with which we will dispatch him. And then, as the angels of heaven sing, we will step upon that enemy, cut off his head with the sword. And it says, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. I bet they did. And one day that is going to happen when we all stand before God. And the time that we are here on earth, we are given limited authority to preach salvation. Aren't you glad? But not everybody gets saved. To heal the sick, to deliver the oppressed, to set the captive free, to be at liberty ourselves, to be filled with the Spirit. All these are limited. But there's coming a day when we will stand before the snake, stand upon the snake with both feet, so to speak, and add insult to injury. And as I've said before, sing that old hymn of the church, na 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 na, hey, hey, goodbye. We're through with you. So long to cancer, so long with afflictions, so long to poverty, so long to difficulty. We're going to stand on that snake and we're going to stomp it. And that'll be a triumphant moment for those who have ever been to a funeral, for those who have ever had a disease, for those who've ever been over to the divorce court, for those who've been abused, for those who've had an affliction or an addiction, who've suffered in Jesus' name. It's going to be a great day. And that great day is coming. I didn't write this. He wrote it. These are all the verses he has about how we will stomp on the snake. We may not have graduated yet, but why we gather here every Sunday is 52 times a year. We have a dress rehearsal for the day it will happen. And so the text says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You're going to come out on top. So God's word for you today as we conclude is stop living under the circumstances. I say to people, how are you doing? Well, pretty good under the circumstances. What are you doing under there? You're a child of God. You're a child of God who one day is going to step on the snake and going to crush him. Start acting like the winner that God made you to be. And when we come up to the altar, remember what it says right here at this altar. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Let's pray. Lord, we do not make light of our enemy's strength or power, but this is what it says in your word. It gives us hope. Some of us will go through difficulty in this life. In fact, all of us have some level of difficulty even today. But thank you for the day when you will give us the opportunity, you having paid the price for it all, to be able to bring some finality to everything. And then forever shall we be with the Lord. So we pray, Lord God, that you would be glorified and honored this day. For you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the praise. Thank you, Jesus.